Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we get into God's Word, we have a little bit of coffee, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. I'm so happy to be with you this morning. Let's have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to come to your word, to hear from you. Father, we pray that your spirit would be working in us. Please teach us. Please make us more and more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I need to apologize for something I did yesterday. I kind of jumped ahead. I brought out something in the calling portion that's not actually until today's passage. It fit yesterday, that's fine, flee sexual immorality, but that verse isn't actually until later in chapter 6 what we're going to be doing today. So we're going to finish chapter 6 and start into chapter 7. We'll get to verse 9 together. Let's go ahead and go into God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one with one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but his wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what are these two sections about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to these passages, right? So A, what is this about? Well, the first part's really about these Christians in the church who are given over to a sense of hedonism, right? This idea that they could do whatever they want and God doesn't care. You know, he's saved their souls, but their bodies really don't matter. That's the first section, verses chapter 6, 12 through the end of the chapter. But then in the second part of the section, chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, This is dealing with people who are overly spiritual, right? Who are seeing marriage as something like not important. And the Lord is telling us here, hold on. Both of these are steering the wrong way. Right? There's people in the church in Corinth who are saying things like the stomach for food and food for the stomach, right? It's just natural. You got to do this, right? God gave us bellies and we got to put food in. God gave us private parts. He gave us sexual reproductive organs and we just got to use them, right? It doesn't really matter. You could do whatever you want with your body. And here Paul says, no. No, hold on. It does matter what you do with your body. God places so much value on the body that he rose Jesus from the dead. We don't want to become Gnostics. We don't want to become so spiritual that we act as if God doesn't actually care about our bodies. No, God redeemed us, body and soul. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And he also says that, hold on now, right, there's another reality. We've been united to Christ. And so if we become one spirit with Christ, and then you go and you hire a prostitute, you're making Christ interact with that. That's, no, hold on, pause, no, don't do that. And also this reality that there's so... Corinth is this major metropolitan area, all cosmopolitan. There's so much sexual immorality. Prostitution is a big deal there. There's the temple to Aphrodite, and she's the god of fertility and sex, and also of other things like hunting and young animals. But we won't go there. I don't know how those two go together. But anyways, but there's this whole fertility cult that's around this, and people are given over to all sorts of sexual immorality in Corinth. And Paul is saying, hold on. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? You're the temple of the living God. You need to glorify God with your bodies. Our bodies are important. This is why we must glorify God with our bodies, because the Spirit of God lives in us. God redeemed us. He bought us at a price. And we are his body and soul. Don't come under this trap. They think that it's all about your soul and God doesn't care about your body. No, God is going to redeem your body. You are going to be raised again from the dead. Don't get this idea that somehow at the last day, you know, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to be a spirit in heaven playing harps and on clouds and stuff like that. No. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to judge the earth. And what's going to happen? Our bodies are going to be raised again from the dead. He's going to make the new heavens and the new earth. All things are going to be renewed. And we will live as fleshly embodied people on the new earth. Right? There's a reality that God cares about our bodies. God cares about us. And so he says, flee sexual immorality. And so that's that first part. And by the way, also just to mention, God loves you and loves your body so much that, you know, he bought you at a price. This is the idea of like going to a slave auction. He didn't pay a paltry price, but he purchased you, not with silver or with gold, but he redeemed you at the price of the blood of his own son. Compare that to the paltry prices people would pay at the temples for prostitutes. No, he's loved you with a costly love. So this next section here, verses 7 through 8, is about marriage. There are super spiritual people in the church who are acting like, well, you know, we don't want to be getting over to sexual immorality and the physical stuff is distracting. But what we really should be about, is the spiritual stuff. So we should all stay single. And Paul says, that's not a good idea. Right? That's not spiritual. Actually, that's a recipe for disaster, right? He says, now concerning the things which you wrote to me. He's going to say this a few times now concerning the things, and that's one of the ways in which he changes topics. And so he's moving now away from the things that Chloe and her household had told him, and now it's things that they've even wrote to him questions about. And what's the first thing, right? People are saying in the church, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Right? So that's what people are saying in the church, right? That it's just good not to engage with women at all. It's good just to be sexually celibate entirely. He says, no, hold on here. Because of the sexual immorality, right, this is verse 2, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. And this part of 1 Corinthians 7 is getting at what's used to be called conjugal rights. There's a reality. God made you body and soul. He wasn't surprised when he made Adam and Eve that they had reproductive organs. Right? He made them. The sign of the covenant was circumcision. God knew fully about the need for sexual reproduction. And so he's talking straightforwardly with the people in Corinth here. He's saying, I know. God knows what it is in Corinth. With all this sexual immorality, the word here is porneia, right? It's where we get our word pornography from, right? There's homosexual relationships between superiors and inferiors. There's all sorts of temple prostitution going on. There's sex with slaves happening. There's all these things that are happening that shouldn't be happening. And he's saying, you know, hold on. Again, we got to turn the world on its head here. It's not about being totally celibate, and it's not about being given over to sexual immorality, but the narrow way of holiness is for husbands to love their wives and wives to love their husbands. There's a reality that God has given marriage, and in the marriage bed, it's pure. Now, this also goes against something that's becoming more popular in Western society and was in an extent in the ancient Near East, not so much Greco-Roman times, but polygamy or polyamory is out of line with 1 Corinthians 7. Why? Because if a husband is sharing multiple women, then one woman can say, that's my own husband, right? No, there's an exclusivity here that's assumed, right? The wife owns the husband, and the husband owns the wife. We might not like the word owns, right? That's not actually in the text. I'm Olivia's. Olivia's mine. I've talked to so many different counseling sessions where there's been this retaliation and holding back of sexual relationships by one party or the other. By the way, this is not just men who are, you know, have this horrible idea in Western culture that the men are all horn dogs and, you know, the women don't desire sexual relations. But that's not true. I've had to tell wives, you know, when you use sex as a tool of retaliation against your husband, you're going to drive him away, and you're opening the door for temptation. And I've had to tell husbands, I don't care. I don't care that you don't desire to have sexual relations with your wife. You have to. You married her, and your body's not your own. You need to go home and love your wife. It's this reality that we're not our own. The West is obsessed with bodily autonomy. Now, don't get me wrong here. This can be used in such a way that husbands can, you know, just hammer down on their wives or wives on their husbands. Anything in Scripture can be used to manipulate, and this could be used in a bad way. Right? You have to have sex with me because God commands it. Well, yeah, but good luck actually loving your wife in an understanding way if you do that. Right? This sexual intimacy should be the culmination of emotional intimacy. You shouldn't just ignore your husband all day and then expect for him to desire to have sex with you in the evening. Nor husband should you be busy about going golfing with your friends and watching TV and doing whatever you want to do in the garage and then expect to come into the marriage bed and your wife be like, oh yeah, I want to sleep with you. Probably not. Right? The reality is that we should be pursuing our spouses, desiring not just one flesh intimacy, but spiritual intimacy with them. And so you need to be cultivating this relationship of loving them. And I promise, as you desire more and more holiness, and as you work in your marriage, as you work on your relationship with God and you talk with your spouse more, marital intimacy comes along with that. But this is the reality. Your body's not your own. You were bought at a price. Now, some of you, though, are single. And Paul says that's a gift. In this section, he says, I wish, right? He wishes that they would be like he is. It is good for them if they remain even as I am. Right? Celibacy is good. There's some single men in our church who do amazing work for God's kingdom because they have the time to do it. They have time to earn money working on extra projects, and so they give out of their excess. There are those in our congregation who have time on their hands because they don't have to invest in a wife and they don't need to invest in children. And so what do? They give their time to the community. They give their time to the church. They build things around the church. They're always doing things around the congregation, looking out for people. They will watch out for their own souls. And so they're vital members of the community. One of my dear best, my favorite people here in at Sharon was Bob McElhaney. Go on our website, or go on gentlereformation.org one time and look up an article I wrote on deacons, and you're able to see a tribute that I wrote to one of these single men in our congregation. But not everybody has that gift. This is a passage that deals with realism. If you're burning with passion, and this is, Calvin says, different than just, you know, a momentary fleeting desire. There might be some heat, but it's not a burning passion. If this is consuming to you that you need to have a wife, you need to get married, you need to go get married. Now, this does not mean that you can go outside the bounds of the faith to go do that, but it means that you need to go and find a spouse. Maybe you need to join some singles groups on Facebook. Go onto Sovereign Grace Singles if you're a Reformed person and register an account there. Go to family camps. Go to presbytery events. Go to denominational conferences. Involve yourself where you can go into other congregations and you can meet other people and make those connections. In many churches, there's a small group of people, and especially as you get older, it becomes more difficult to find a spouse who shares the faith. I would encourage you, go be connected with the broader church so you can find a spouse who you could marry. Well, we've basically covered a whole bunch of sea calling in this, haven't we? What's the best verse to summarize? Well, I think verse 18 is clear. Right, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Maybe verse 19, maybe verse 20. I might even go for verse 14. Let me know. What would you underline in your Bible as the best verse to summarize that first section? It's the second section on marriage. I would probably say verse 2 and verse 8 or 9. Let me know. What would you underline in your Bible? Well, there's a whole bunch of calling in here, isn't there? What is it that you need to apply in your life from this? Are you one who's been given over to sexual immorality and thinking, oh, I can still have a great relationship with the Lord, and he doesn't actually care about what's happening? No, Jesus says he cares so much that if you look after a woman lustfully with your eyes, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Right? Jesus cares about body and soul. And so flee sexual immorality. I don't know what that's going to look like in your life. Does it look like you need to stop going to certain establishments? Does it look like you need to shut off the data on your phone? I would encourage every person to go to Covenant Eyes and put a filter on their phone and on their computers. I am a big proponent of not walking around with a loaded firearm with your finger on the trigger. If you're struggling with sexual immorality, put a filter on your internet, right? It's not a big deal. It will help you. It might slow down your internet a little bit. It's probably good that we slow down a little bit so we have some time to think. Maybe see calling for you is that you need to get an accountability partner and be honest about a struggle with sin and have somebody who you're able to have pray for you and disciple you. Maybe for some of you, you've been neglecting the marriage bed. Or maybe you've been going outside the marriage bed. Go home and love your wife. Be content, rejoice in the wife of your youth. You might say, well, she's not young anymore. No, she was your wife when you were a youth, not because she looks like a youth. Go and love her. Go and love your husband. He might have a dad bod. Oh, well, love him. Right? The point is, invest in your marriage. Go and care for your spouse. Bring God glory. If you're single, bring God glory in your singleness if you have self-control. But if you burn, right, if there's this constant physical longing to be united to someone, I'd encourage you, use all available means to seek a spouse. If maybe you need to reach out to your elders and ask if they know of anybody. We don't like this in the West, but maybe there is a sense of matchmaker, you know, elders talking to other elders in other congregations and saying, hey, I got this guy who's looking for a spouse. Here's what he's like. Does anybody have anybody in their congregation who would be interested in starting a conversation with this guy or gal? What are you called to do? And all of this, we're united to Jesus Christ. Bring God glory. Love Jesus Christ. Value the purchased price of your redemption. And may we seek, whether married or single, to bring God glory. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in us. Please, Lord, teach us to follow you. In a world where sexual ethics are all over the place, God, we pray that we would follow after you. Please, Lord, watch over us this day. Give us your Holy Spirit and empower us to keep your commands out of a heart of love for you. Thank you for making us. Thank you for redeeming us, body and soul. Thank you for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, may you rejoice in Jesus Christ today. May you walk in his Spirit. May you be comforted that he loves you with an eternal love. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.